Welcome into the Towel Boys. He's Mike Grimala over at RunRevs.com. I'm Tyler Bischoff here at Mountain West Connection. And Mike, you know, I told you since the season ended, we've had our most views. I have a feeling like this is going to be the most listened to show.
An emergency edition of the Towel Boys.
Yeah, we're recording this at the worst possible time. It is a Friday afternoon. Like, this is the dumbest time to record things to put on the internet, but here we are.
Because we...
So, I mean, well, you know, Steven Zimmerman decides...
Things happen, man.
He decides Thursday night. What time? It was like, what, 9 o'clock,
like
8 o'clock Pacific
like
8:30, time?
8:30, like local time.
Like, what is he doing?
I don't know. It was definitely an understated announcement for all the buildup. You know, 4 years of recruitment. Kind of refreshing, though, I guess. Like, no TV announcement, no, you know, three hats on the table, none of that. Just sort of just sent out a tweet.
What would you have preferred?
I would have preferred if he had announced his commitment exclusively through RunRevs.com, like LeBron in Sports Illustrated. besides that, I'm fine with a tweet. Like,
I wish he would have like involved like I don't know, maybe the High Roller or something.
Yeah,
something in Vegas and do something cool, but whatever. Tweet's a tweet. He tweeted out a picture of himself wearing a UNLV jersey that was number 33. Is he number 33? Like, is that a thing already?
I don't know.
Was he number 33 at Bishop Gorman?
I don't think so.
That's what we're starting with is his jersey number, by the way. All right. So Zimmerman to UNLV, they're going to the Final Four, right?
Expectations are going to be somewhere maybe up in that range. Don't be surprised.
I mean, they just get a bye right into the Final Four. Isn't that how this works?
He get aside from expectations, just to tie up all loose ends, he was number 33 at Bishop Gorman.
Oh, was he? Okay, good. To me, it's crazy how, like,
I'm not sure you can get into expectations until Chris Wood is finally resolved. I know most people, myself and you included, we both, you know, think he's basically gone. He's got a foot and a half out the door already. But until that's official, it's kind of hard to start laying expectations on the team.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And
he's obviously a huge piece. It can completely make the team if he comes back, and you know if he doesn't come back, it's a pretty big hurdle to overcome. So one way or the other, it's going to make a huge difference.
Can they play together?
Yeah, I think they can.
I don't know a whole lot about Steven Zimmerman like as a player in a five man team. Like, I'm aware he can dunk. I'm aware he's very athletic for a 7-footer, but I don't know, like, what he does when he's in the course of a five-man game.
Well, you talk to college coaches or in NBA scouts, and the same things that they say, the things that everyone mentions about Zimmerman is that he's got a good face-up game for a big man. Everyone sees him as a face-up, you know, stretch four or a face-up four more than a center, even at the college level. So he can face-up and put the ball on the floor. That's his best that's the best way to use him. And then everyone mentions his passing game. Like, he can you put him in the high post and you're set. He can he knows how to read defenses. He's an accurate passer. He thinks one move ahead. He makes the proper pass. So the face-up game and the passing ability on offense is the two things that everyone mentions.
Okay. So
that sounds to me like a guy who can play with Chris Wood. Like,
yeah, it does. It does. I don't think they would, and neither one is a lane clogger in the sense, so I would assume they could too. Now, for the rest of the show, we're pretty much going to be talking under the premise that Chris Wood is gone.
I'm fine with that.
If we say something about Chris Wood coming back, we'll mention, hey, this is if Chris Wood is back. For the rest of the show, we're pretty much assuming Chris Wood is gone. But I want to ask this question. For next season, you only get to pick one. Would you rather have Steven Zimmerman right now or Christian Wood right now?
And we're only talking for next season. So we're assuming they play next season, and then that would be their last season at UNO.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you got to take Wood just because he's proven that he can be a productive. You know, he was a 15-10 guy last year already in college. Are you sure you're going to get that from Steven Zimmerman next year as a freshman, as a true freshman? I'm not sure. I would take the sure thing. I would have I would take Wood if I could only pick one. Zimmerman is obviously a great consolation prize, but given the choice of only one of those guys for only 1 year, I take Wood as a junior over Zimmerman as a freshman.
I would too. Chris Wood is the safe bet. He averaged a double-double in college basketball, so you know what you can get out of him. Zimmerman is a little bit more of the risk-reward pick in that sense. The reason I ask that is I feel like the amount of excitement over Steven Zimmerman was like way too much. I think it was Mitch Moss tweeted, like, would UNLV fans have the same reaction on Twitter if Chris Wood said he was coming back? And I don't think they would. Now, there is one thing with Wood, and I'll get to it in a second. But with Chris Wood, like, if you'd rather have Zimmerman than Chris Wood, what you're saying is that Steven Zimmerman's going to be the best player in the Mountain West next year. Like, that's the only way that next year Steven Zimmerman is better than what Chris Wood just put up. Because like you said, I mean, Wood was fifth in the conference in points per game, second in rebounds, second in blocks. He was a 15-10-3. The advanced stats didn't love him quite as much, but he was still seventh in player efficiency rating, third in rebound percentage, 23rd in effective field goal percentage, 22nd in offensive rating, and 11th in defensive rating. So not great, but still pretty good there. And KenPom had him as the fourth best player in the conference. So, like, if you're saying I'd rather have Steven Zimmerman, you're saying he's going to be the best player in the conference next year, which I think is a huge stretch and not going to happen.
And one of the underrated aspects I feel about Chris Wood was that he just played. He was a workhorse. He played a ton last year. He led the team in minutes. He didn't miss any. He was never hurt. He played every game. And he played more minutes than anyone. Like, they rode him. So asking a freshman to come in, and is Steven Zimmerman going to play 33 minutes a game next year and play, you know, in every game? I think that would be asking a lot of a freshman to come in and completely fill that role by himself. So, I mean, if that's the expectation for Zimmerman to come in and sort of replicate what Wood did last year, that might be stretching it a little bit.
There is one reason why I would be okay with somebody considering Zimmerman, and it's something that I hate, mostly because we can't really quantify it, but UNLV did not win a lot with Christian Wood doing what he did last year. So if you're of the belief that Steven Zimmerman is going to make his teammates better, which Chris Wood, I don't think that's really one of his strengths. If you think Steven Zimmerman has like that Tim Tebow quality where he's just a winner, he's going to win games, blah, 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 and that crap, like I'm okay with that, because as good as Chris Wood was last year, UNLV didn't win. Like, they were a barely above 500 basketball team. So I don't think you're crazy if you stay Zimmerman, because the season wasn't very good last year despite how good Chris Wood was.
Yeah, that's the counter argument, that you've already had Wood for a big season and it didn't really translate into wins on the court. So I could see that. Making players better, that's a tough argument to get into without some like super advanced statistics. It's going to be interesting. The thing is, like, offensively, they're pretty similar. Like, one of the good things I think for UNLV is that Zimmerman, they can sort of plug him into that role. They won't have to change too much. Like, he's that guy, like Wood, he can operate in the, you know, the mid post and face up a lot and do, you know, quick drives to the basket. That's sort of where his bread and butter is going to be. So I kind of similar in that sense. The only question is whether he's going to give you as much production as Wood did, and whether it's going to translate into more wins, which is probably going to come down to whether his teammates are better than Wood's.
Yeah, that's what I. If you're assuming UNLV is going to be much better next year, it's not because Steven Zimmerman's going to be better than Chris Wood. It's because Steven Zimmerman's going to help make up for the loss that Chris Wood is. And that UNLV, first off, is probably going to have more depth. I mean, they could suffer a whole bunch of injuries, but they're probably going to have a lot more depth next year. And it's not too crazy to say Jerome Segers is going to be better than Cody Doolin, and that some combination of Poyser and Derek Jones is going to be better than what Jalon Kindred gave.
Yeah, and you know, Zimmerman in this scenario, he gets to play with the sophomore version of Patrick McCaw and the sophomore version of Jordan Cornish and Dwayne Morgan and all those guys. Good luck, Okanobo, whereas Chris Wood was playing with those guys when, you know, when they were true freshmen. So you would expect some improvement in the just the team surrounding them.
So Zimmerman committing, do you think that makes Wood more likely to come back or less likely?
I would say got to be less likely, right? If
I don't know. Like I don't know what my answer to that question is.
It's tough. I mean, it's tough to you can sort of make a case both ways. I would say for the position that he was in, probably less likely. A guy who was already, you know, sort of projected as a first round pick. Do you want to come back and play with someone who sort of has a similar, is sort of duplicating your skill set and who is coming in as a highly hyped recruit who you know is going to get minutes? You want to come in and sort of have that sort of internal competition if your number one priority is to improve your draft stock. Maybe his Wood's number one priority is to, you know, come back and he wants to win and be on a great UNLV team. Maybe that's his priority, but I got to imagine, like, if you're thinking career-wise about your future, if you can be a first-round pick now, why would you come back and compete with a guy who pretty much duplicates what you can do on the court and you, that you know is going to play a big role?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything Chris Wood coming back would do would make him a higher draft pick, except like hit like 40% of his threes. Like he's not going to come back and improve his draft stock dramatically. So like you kind of mentioned, the only reason he would come back is if he wants to come back to college and he says, oh, you know, we could win the Mountain West or, oh, we could have a serious NCAA tournament run. That's really the only reason to come back if you're Chris Wood is because you want to do something in college or you want to leave a collegiate legacy or something like that. Otherwise, draft stock's not going to get much better unless something crazy happens. Most guys, you don't come back and all of a sudden, oh, okay, I went from being the 18th projected pick to being the number 5 projected pick. That doesn't really happen. You either are a top 5 pick or you're not. So, I don't know. It really depends on what Chris Wood's mindset is. If he wants to do something in college, then it makes him more likely to come back. He hasn't tweeted, at least as of now, at 2:30 on Friday, anything since he tweeted about the Fast and the Furious about a week ago. But like Ben Seegers and Jerome Carter and Jordan Cornish, or Jerome Carter. I said Ben Seegers and Jerome Carter. What? Anyway, those two guys and Jordan Cornish, and I'm sure some other guys have been tweeting about it, but not Chris Wood. For UNLV, for Dave Rice, it's weird to me because he is like an all-star recruiter. Like he is excellent.
One of the very best in the country, you've got to say.
Yes, like no doubt about it at this point. Crazy to me because I've saw so many tweets, mainly from fans, but so many tweets saying like, if only they had a coach. And like, oh, they're just going to, like, basically hating on Dave Rice, which Dave Rice gets a lot of hate for not being a very good basketball coach. But if they had a different coach here, they're not getting these guys.
Yeah, it's people, they sort of, whenever they bring up, you know, the Lon Kruger era, you know, they sort of reminisce about that Sweet 16 run that they went on. But they're not bringing in that. They weren't bringing in the caliber. They weren't recruiting on the same level that Dave Rice is recruiting on. Not even close. And if for the bang for the buck that you're getting with Dave Rice, the fact that he can get recruits, he can go up against Duke and Kansas and Kentucky, teams that can basically afford to charter a private jet for their coach to see these recruits as many times as they want, whenever they want, and sort of Dave Rice and his crew are, you know, sort of probably, you know, flying commercial
Southwest.
And, you know, they're stopping in Chicago and they're changing planes in Salt Lake City and they're doing all that stuff to get to these guys and they're still winning a lot of these recruiting battles. I mean, it's kind of unbelievable that they're recruiting at this level. I mean, if Justin Jackson reclassifies and comes in this part of this 2015 class, you might be looking at like another top 5 recruiting class. And I know that the tractors, you know, the obvious comeback to that is, yeah, you had a top five class last year. What good did it do you? But the fact that UNLV could have like back-to-back, you know, top five recruiting classes is kind of amazing considering the circumstances that they're in, the conference that they're in, and sort of the budget that they're under and the teams they're recruiting against.
Sean Cunningham, who's is on Twitter very very much about UNLV, he tweeted that Dave Rice has landed as many McDonald's All-Americans in his time as UNLV did in the prior 30 years to him coming there. And so that's Anthony Bennett, Rashad Vaughn, and now Zimmerman. Plus, Jalon Kendrick and Kim Burch, who transferred to UNLV, were also all McDonald's All-Americans. So technically he has five, and if Nigel Williams-Goss were to transfer here, that'd be another one. But it's just like I've been trying to think of something to compare to this, but I don't feel like I've ever seen a coach's strength, and Dave Rice's biggest strength is recruiting, used against him. Like it's almost a bad thing that he got Steven Zimmerman, because now it's like expectations are higher and people are like, oh, what a joke, you know, that's going to be. They're going to have all this time. Like I can't think of another example where a coach's biggest strength is like somehow a bad thing in people's eyes.
Yeah, like you never hear that when it's sort of the opposite, when it's, you know, a good coach who can't really get top flight recruits. Stu Moore, who's a great coach and was, you know, he had his farewell tour this year. He's a great coach, never really got the good recruits. You never really hear that, you know, used against him as a criticism. Like, oh, he never brought in good enough players to be, you know, to win games in the NCAA tournament. You never really hear that as an argument against him. I guess it's if you're gonna play that kind of game, though, where you're recruiting these guys and you're raising expectations and you're getting hopes up, the downside of that is, like, you have those expectations, and if you don't meet them, it's a very high-profile failure.
Let me ask you this with Dave Rice, and it's a very hypothetical situation, but UNLV hired a first-time head coach, and they're not paying him a whole lot of money, but and Dave Rice seemingly, like, wants to be at UNLV. Would you be willing to accept Dave Rice as your head coach for a long time? You're going to get high-level recruits a lot, but you're going to have to live with Dave Rice learning as a head coach. And it might take 6 or 7 years before he gets to a Sweet 16 or an Elite Eight or whatever level you want to put that at, but you're going to keep getting high-level recruits. Would you be willing to trade off the growing pains of a young coach if you knew he was learning and becoming a better coach every year?
I think in UNLV's situation, you have to. I mean, you just got Steven Zimmerman.
Don't be UNLV. Be a UNLV fan.
I still think you just got Steven Zimmerman. You know, like the huge hometown recruit that, you know, everyone was trying to get. You managed to keep him here. Team has been decent to good. Not great under Dave Rice, but the potential is just—it's there. It's just palpable. It's just waiting to be tapped into. It's the ceiling for these teams is not going to be there if you hire a competent coach who is just going to come in and like an X's and O's guys who's just going to not hit the recruiting trail as hard and try and put together a competitive Mountain West team. I think UNLV wants to. They see themselves. It's kind of an insult to say they see themselves above their league, but I think UNLV, Tina Kunzer-Murphy said it in her statement after she retained Dave Rice a few weeks ago, that we want UNLV to be a national program. The Mountain West is not really a national conference, so I don't think it's unfair to say that UNLV envisions themselves being above their conference, you know, in a way. They're recruiting above their conference. They haven't seen the results on the court, and that's the frustrating part. But I think if you're a UNLV fan, you sort of – I wouldn't be out there with pitchforks trying to get rid of Dave Rice. You just got Steven Zimmerman.
No, they didn't win any games in April, though. That's the thing I always hate about recruiting, is that people get all pumped up about it. But you don't win games in April in college basketball. You don't win games in February or January in college football. You know what's weird, though, is I've actually seen with the Zimmerman announcement, obviously, he was considering, you know, Kentucky and Arizona and UCLA and Kansas. Kentucky fans, with their entire team going pro, they need some guys. I saw a lot of Kentucky fans commenting on it, and I've seen a lot with Iowa State fans over the past year. fans of other teams, and particularly those two, hate on Dave Rice more than UNLV fans do. Like, it's almost crazy that it's just like everything about Dave Rice outside of UNLV is he's just a terrible coach. And it's like a lot of UNLV fans hate on him, but there are a lot of UNLV fans that have defended Dave Rice and say, listen, he does some good things. But other fans, nope, Dave Rice is the worst coach in college basketball.
I think a lot of that goes back to what I was saying, how UNLV sort of their vision for the program is they want to be a national team. They sort of view themselves almost above the conference. Like, they want to compete with teams outside of the conference. They want to compete on a national level. And I think that may breed some resentment among the fan bases of Mountain West teams. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, it does.
Like, if you're a fan of a Mountain West team and, you're focusing on winning within the Mountain West and you're recruiting sort of at a Mountain West level, it kind of feels good when you see Dave Rice, you know, bringing in these top five recruiting classes, and everyone at UNLV is getting fired up, and they're talking about how great they're going to be, and then they come in and they don't win in the Mountain West, and you can sort of sit back and smirk and say, oh yeah, how great, yeah, what good is all your high class recruits and all your five stars? What good is that when you have a guy who can't coach? It seems like that you can sort of it would probably feel good to sit back and sort of bask in any kind of failure that UNLV has.
Again, assuming Chris Wood is gone, what does Steven Zimmerman average next year?
I'm not sure he's going to get the 10 rebounds a game like Chris Wood did, but I can see him being a double figure scorer, which is with his talent and the way the offense is set up. Like, the good thing about Zimmerman is that he sort of has a lot of the skills that Wood did. You can kind of slide him, and you can picture him doing a lot of the same stuff that Wood did in terms of, you know, catching the ball in the mid post, face up, driving, scoring. I could see him being a double digit scorer. I'm not sure. I'm not completely sold on, you know, the defensively and the rebounding yet, just because it's hard to judge that from, you know, AAU basketball and high school basketball, because he's not playing against guys his size, and he's not playing against, you know, guys at the same talent level. So it's sort of hard to judge defense and rebounding and that kind of stuff. But offensively, I think he should be able to come in and contribute right away.
13-8-3.
That's your numbers. 3 blocks a game. Or do you think 3 assists?
3 blocks. I don't know what he's going to do assist-wise, but 13-8-3. And by 3, I mean 2.5 or more, because, like, Chris Wood was at 2.7, and I'm counting that as 3.
I don't even think Zimmerman blocked 3 shots a game in high school this year.
13-8-3.
Okay.
That's what they're going to do.
I think you'd probably be happy with that. I don't know if those are one-and-done numbers. Like, I don't know if that's going to put him in the stratosphere where he's he's in the same position that Wood is in a year from now. I don't think that's going to propel him to the NBA, but UNLV would have to be happy with that.
Is having your second option at 13-8-3 good enough for an offense?
I think so. In college basketball, yeah, you get a 13-point score as your second option. If you get Patrick McCaw up until, you know, 18 points a game, somewhere around there, you get maybe Seagares or Cornish, somewhere between like 8 and 10, like those two guys. They're not going to be running and gunning people off the floor. It's not going to be like a high-flying offense that's scoring in the 80s every night, but I think you can definitely put together a competitive offense with the players that they'll have on hand.
Does McCaw and Zimmerman being your 1 and 2, does that need to be the focus of the offense next year? Like, using those two together, like whether it's a pick and roll or having one, you know, one's the first option, one's the second option on any given play.
Those are probably your two best offensive players.
I ask you that because I don't feel like they used Rashad Vaughn and Chris Wood together, or is like option A, option B, as well as they could have.
Yeah, I think some of that might have had to do with Rashad Vaughn not being that type of player, where he's more of a shot seeker than he is a shot creator for other players. Like, involving him in a two-man game kind of is just, there is no real two-man game when the ball is in Rashad Vaughn's hand. It sort of becomes a one-man game. Whereas I think McCaw is a little bit more versatile in terms of, if you run a pick and roll with him, the pass is an option. He can beat you with the pass, or he can challenge the defense and make the defense move. Whereas Rashad Vaughn was more of a, he was just, his great talent was scoring. When you the ball was in his hands, you wanted him to try and score. Whereas I think Vaughn can sort of, I mean, I think McCaw may be a little bit better at involving another player, so you may see a little more two-man game next year.
Final four or bust, right?
I don't know about
that. Dave Rice is gone if they're not in the final four, right?
The last time that I heard final four talk around UNLV was the Anthony Bennett year, and they almost made it out of the first round.
That would be the second round, Mike.
Mm, it's good.
Did they change that? Didn't they change that back though?
No, I know this year they were calling it the round. I don't think they say first or second anymore. I think they say round of 64 is what they're trying to go.
Round of 32. Okay, yeah. All right. I mean, that's what you have to call it now because they go and confuse you calling the first four the first round.
Yeah, the big thing was that they didn't want people calling those first four games play-in games. They didn't want the term play-in.
But
yeah, big deal. Like, it's, I don't know, whatever. They don't want to devalue those games, whatever. No one watches them anyways. It's not a big deal.
You know what's crazy is when it comes to, like, conferences get money for how far their teams go. Like, conferences get the same amount of money if a team wins a play-in game as if they win another game.
Mm.
It's like the same as the round of 64 games, basically. I think you get the same amount for each, like, win you get, basically, so...
So if if you're confident that you're going to win that round of 68 game, then
you want to be in it.
You must want to be in.
For your conference, you get more money.
What is your with Zimmerman now in the fold? What are you thinking for the starting five next year?
I would like to see what you tweeted out with Seegers, McCaw, Cornish, and then Zimmerman and Okonobo is the four and the five.
Yeah.
That's what I would like to see. And honestly, based on last year, that's what I kind of expect. See, maybe Ben Carter kind of has the de facto start at the beginning of the year because Zimmerman's a freshman, but I don't see that being a for sure thing. Mm-hmm. But that's what I would like to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that that is their best offensively, anyways, in terms of spacing, and that should be their best offensive team. Defensively, we'll have to see how it shakes out with Zimmerman and everything, but. I think that does make the most sense. And the good thing is that they'll, like you said, injuries aside, they should have a little bit more depth in terms of.
Yeah, that's the big thing is next year. I mean, somebody's going to get hurt, whether it's season ending or whether you've got a few guys throughout the year. Like you're going to have injuries, but it doesn't look like they're going to have seven healthy players going into the conference tournament next year. So to me, that's the big thing is like. You're not going to have guys wearing down, or you're less likely to have guys wearing down because you're going to be able to space out those minutes a little bit more between guys that are, like, as much as I kind of hate on Dwayne Morgan, there's no problem with giving Dwayne Morgan 15 or 20 minutes all the time. Like, he's a perfectly fine player. You just got to scale back the amount of times he shoots.
Yeah, he's, and who knows what kind of player, what he's going to look like next year, but if he's filling that role coming off the bench, he's sort of got the versatility that you look for there. I do like the look that he gives you.
We are probably going to record another episode sometime the next couple of days. UNLV's got Nigel Williams-Goss and Ike Nwamu visiting this weekend, so there's plenty to talk about there. Some more with Zimmerman as well, and just more overall with UNLV. But Zimmerman's going to UNLV. Big time get, or maybe it's the what's that phrase, white elephant for Dave Rice? No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work exactly right. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see if it's actually a bad thing for Dave Rice. But he gets Steven Zimmerman. UNLV fans are excited after an 18-15 year. But that'll do it for this emergency towel, boys. He's Mike Grimala over at runrevs.com. I'm Tyler Bischoff here at Mountain West Connection. Thanks for tuning in.